We present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we have our four regular players of the game. And once more, they're going to compete in just a minute. And by talking, if they can, on the subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. And we'll start the contest this week with Derek Nimmo, and the subject is parbuckles. Derek, will you tell us something about parbuckles in just a minute, starting now?
My son, Piers James Alexander Nimmo, is at a preparatory school called The Dragon in Oxford, and his housemaster is named Richard Kershaw Sudbury Parr Buckles. The reason they call him Parr Buckles is, of course, he is a father himself, and all the boys lovingly shout every morning, "Hello, Parr Buckles," when he comes down the stairs with his handy slipper, which he whacks them with. Sometimes on the games field in the middle of a game of rugby with the Fijians around, he's been known to cry, "Parr Buckles," to himself.
Clement Freud has charged.
Hesitation.
Yes, there's a hesitation. What on earth? I recall deviation, all those Fijians at his son's school. I don't believe it for a minute. Clement Freud, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, and you take over the subject of Parr Buckles, and there are 25 seconds left, starting now.
Parr Buckles is sort of nautical, like a rope, which they call a sheet. Or it might even be a knot, which they call a clove hitch, lasso or noose.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Oh, deviation. It is not a knot.
No, but he said it could be.
It can't
like
be a knot. It is
a rope.
He was giving an example of how this word...
Parbuckle is a rope. It can't be a knot. It's a rope. It's got to go up and down. A knot can't go up and down. What are you talking about? A knot's for tying, you great knit. It doesn't know anything. Benediction.
But it doesn't matter. It's not...
It matters to me! What do you mean it doesn't matter? I think it's important that these people here are given an accurate account of these things. Otherwise, they're going out of this place full of misinformation.
But a few... a few weeks...
Is that what you want? A nation of illiterates walking around not knowing, not having any idea all their lives what a parbuckle is? She's dying to know what a real parbuckle is, and I happen to know.
Kenneth! Clement's already told us a real parbuckle is, but give us an example. You've done your little bit. The audience loved it. We'll get back to the contest. It was an incorrect challenge. Clement wasn't deviating from the subject. He keeps it. There are 13 seconds left, starting now.
In a ship's chandler's shop in Leighton Buzzard.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repetition of ships.
Yes. You did mention the word ships before.
Not ship's chandler's. Ship apostrophe S chandler.
You're quite right, yes. It was ships before on the plural, and this was ship apostrophe, yes. I'm sorry, Clement.
Oh, is it? Oh,
10 seconds on parbuckles.
Prefect at school. You've always been terrified of Freud, haven't you?
Yes, right, yes, right, yes.
Has anybody else in the team said ships
I
twice?
I tried to be...
Ships apostrophe. A load of rubbish. You ought to resign.
Resign!
Resign.
All right, the man who caught the game is sitting beside me. Apostrophes and plurals, are they different words?
No, good answer.
They are, Phil. Thank you. The man who caught the game says that the decision was right, so Clement keeps the subject, and there are 9.5 seconds on parbuckle starting now.
And they strung up the chairman by a parbuckle.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
No, because parbuckle can only be used for carrying cylindrical objects.
Yes, you could.
What do you think of it?
I withdraw my challenge, I'm sorry.
I'm going to put it to the audience. If you think I'm a cylindrical object and should be strung up and could be strung up on a parbuckle or by a parbuckle, then you cheer for Derek Nimmo, and if not, you boo for Clement Freud, and you all do it together now. Thank you, you can leave. You think I'm a cylindrical object that could be strung up as a parlor by a parbuckle. Derek Nimmo, parbuckles with 4.5 seconds, starting now.
Barrels can be hoisted up by parbuckles onto the top of a roof where they will be found to be very useful.
Well, at the end of that frenetic round, And we've been going for quite a while, and we've only got through one round. Clement Freud has 3 points. Derek Nimmer, who got an extra one for speaking as the whistle went, has got 2. Peter Jones, Kenneth Williams yet to score, and Peter's going to begin the next round. Peter, the subject is useless information. A lot of that is given in just a minute. Would you like to talk on the subject in starting now?
Yes, well, as soon as I heard the words, I was immediately reminded of some of the things that Clement Freud told us some weeks ago about cooking woodworms, which was pretty useless information. But the world is absolutely full of it. The telephone directories tell us...
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was a definite error, I'm afraid. So Clement has a point in the subject and 43 seconds on useless information starting now.
I think some of the most useless information you get, you find in women's magazines towards the back, where people are encouraged to write in and ask the resident sage for advice. And you get letters that begin with, "My lodger has been going out with my 14-year-old daughter, and I'm exceedingly worried about what they might be up to in the front room on Tuesday evenings." To which the answer is, you really must stop writing on both sides of the page because your letters are difficult to read. And I think for sheer useless...
Derek Nimmer, challenge.
Repetition of letters.
Yes, I'm afraid so. And I would also say I would have given deviation because I'm sure the people take those letters fairly responsibly and don't put those sort of replies. There are 8 seconds.
What is this show coming to?
You're getting so pompous.
I made a living out of being pompous. Yes. Why should I change now?
The thoughts of Chairman Nicholas.
No, one of my jobs is to try and see fair play, and I'm going to see fair play for those who can't answer back the women's magazines.
You couldn't see fair play if it was written up for you.
There are 8 seconds for you, Derek, on useless information starting now.
Some of the most useless information that I've ever been given I found on a commercial television program called Sale of the Century.
Derek Nimmo timed that perfectly, not only finishing as the whistle went, but getting his, what's that word, the punchline...
Hesitation.
Hesitation. Peter. So he's increased his lead at the end of the round. Clement Freud, we're with you to start, and the subject is jousting. You have 60 seconds, starting now.
Jousting is coming into its own again, as they say. It was a sport used by knights in ancient times who sat on horses wearing armour and tried to push each other off their mounts by galloping in the direction of their opponent. But today it is a charitable thing and a company run by a man called Charles Jones or William Robertson or Harry James, for all that I know, write to you when you open a fete and say it would be extraordinarily beneficial to the charitable concern.
Derek Nimmer, challenge.
Slightly early, because I thought he was saying charity twice. And said
no,
charitable.
I said charity and charitable.
I know, I said my challenge was a trifle too early. I was apologising, Clay, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I hope you'll accept it.
Why this sudden chivalry in the programme?
It's got nothing to do with you. You just say yes or no. That's what you're there for.
That's what you want me to say.
Analyse the relationships which we form
no,
with one another.
No, judgments like this is ludicrous, isn't it?
It's much easier if he just sort of shut up, wouldn't
yes,
it, really?
Yes, I think
we'll get more and more
couldn't
out of
the Methodist keep the score?
Yes!
Clement, you have 24 seconds to continue on the subject of jousting, starting now.
Naturally, the local hospital and fire brigade are called in because it is a dangerous occupation, and as a result of jousting...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. The hospital, he says, are called in. You can't call in a hospital. You might call in a doctor from a hospital, but you couldn't call a hospital into a jousting program.
The DHSS have called in more hospitals in the last few months than anyone.
Kenneth, I agree with your challenge. A very good one. And you have 15 and a half seconds on jousting, starting now.
Well, perhaps the most famous jousting match ever held was that between Lord Gawain and Modred. Now, he was known, the latter person, for his nastiness, and had a great ball with spikes upon it.
So, Kenneth Williams was speaking then as the whistle went and gave...
At last, I'm in the lead! At last!
I've always been losing, you see.
You're still in third place.
Oh.
But you are ahead of Peter Jones, who won last time you all four played this game together. No, Clement Freud's still in the lead, just one ahead of Derek Nimmo. But, Kenneth, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is the most extraordinary person I have ever met. That's the subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
The most extraordinary person I ever met was actually... Don't do that. He's doing it deliberately.
Peter Jones has challenged.
He's just...
Hesitation.
No, I wasn't hesitating. I was saying don't do that. He's just sitting there looking at me and making funny faces and trying to put me off.
Well, I know, and he succeeded.
Oh, that's not in the rules. The rules of the game state that you should be allowed to proceed.
No,
you're not allowed to proceed.
What was Nicholas Barth?
It does. It says in the book, without let or hindrance.
Now, there's a book about it. You're making up new rules that are going on. Kenneth, I do believe that you were obstructed, and I don't think that's fair play.
Thank you.
And I said before, I'd like to see fair play, so I'm not going to allow the challenge, and you keep the subject, and you have 53 seconds on the most extraordinary person I have ever met, starting now.
She was on this pier and was actually covered in hair. I know that sounds fantastic, but you see, it was the most extraordinary person I'd ever met, and a sort of slushy sound came out on every sibilant. Boat like short time.
Kevin Freud's challenge.
Repetition of.
Don't be absurd. That's not repetition. That's not really absurd. I said boat like short.
Yes!
Repetition.
You did, you repeated.
In that case, then, the sound of I and T, which recurs in a sentence, could also be called repetition. That's ridiculous. Thank you.
That is part of a word. You made a definite noise.
Don't be absurd. I said on the sibilance there was a slushing sound and then illustrated it. Yeah, if you're going to tell me you can't illustrate it, you might as well say, oh, well, consonants are in the line as well. So are vowels.
Well, Kenneth, if I was to take you literally, you could go through the whole of that episode. For 60 seconds.
If I say some enchanted evening you would see a stranger across the crowded room, that's not repetition. Not repetition. Well, I mean, I'm always being unfairly used.
Kenneth, they try
to make a butt of me.
Kenneth, you're not unfairly used. I give you a tremendous amount of rope and you invariably hang yourself with it. But, no, I'll give you a bonus point for your brilliant demonstration, but I disagree entirely. And Clement Freud has the subject after repetition and there are 37 seconds left. The most extraordinary person I've ever met, starting now.
The most extraordinary person I've ever met was hanging from a power buckle and looked like a cylindrical object. He swung backwards and forwards in the high wind, and investigating the appearance carefully, it was none other than Nicholas Parsons, our chairman. About time, people said.
Kenneth,
as they
you challenged.
By.
Did I?
Yes.
What was the basis?
Nicholas Parsons, repetition.
Oh, that's right. He said Nicholas.
And we don't want too much of him in this show, do we? So, Kenneth, you get the subject back, and there are 17 seconds on the most extraordinary person I've ever met, starting now.
He was entirely black and was on the upper berth in a train, which was...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Deviation. He'd already established the most extraordinary person I've ever met was covered with hair and was a lady.
Yes, I'm afraid you did.
Haven't you ever heard of a sex change?
It was a brilliant attempt. I'm tempted to give you another bonus point. But actually,
don't
the
be
thing
tempted,
is...
dear, do it. Go on. Strain yourself.
Even the most extraordinary person in your world had had a sex change, they still couldn't have changed colour.
Yes, that's right.
No, that's right, yes.
Have you ever heard of blacking out?
Oh, blacking up. No, I'm sorry. No, there are 13 seconds with you, Derek, on the most extraordinary person I've ever met, starting now.
The most extraordinary person that I've ever met was a woman with amazing measurements. 38 breasts, 22...
Peter Jones has challenged.
No woman could have 38 breasts.
I did establish.
I know, you meant bust.
No.
You meant
I mean, that's why she was extraordinary. I mean, I don't expect a normal woman to have 38 breasts. It was just this particular woman. That's why she's incredible.
You deviated far too far.
On the card is the most extraordinary person I've ever met. Now, if you saw a woman coming here with 38 breasts, would you not think that was a trifle odd? In fact, might you not say this was extraordinary? And that's what I was
thinking. No, it would only be odd if she had 37.
By every token, I think Peter Jones deserves the subject. He's going to have it. He's got his first point in this game, actually. And he was our winner recently. Peter, you have 4 seconds to take over the subject of the most extraordinary person I have ever met, starting now.
This woman wore an evening dress with a cricket belt round her waist, and she had cigarette...
Well, Peter Jones was speaking and the whistle went. He's gained that extra point, and he's still in fourth place. He's behind Kenneth Williams. You might be surprised to hear that Kenneth actually has caught up a great deal. He's in second place with Derek Nimmo, only one behind our leader, Clement Freud. And Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, steeplechasing. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Jeeple.
Peter Jones challenged.
Yes, it was
I'm afraid so. He did it to you a few weeks ago. There are 58 and a half seconds on steeplechasing starting now.
Well, it's a matter of getting on a horse and accompanied...
Derek Nimmo.
Hesitation, and...
Yes, right. 55 seconds, steeplechasing, Derek, starting now.
Steeplechasing originated in Ireland when a group of merry hunters decided one day to race each other towards the nearest handily adjacent steeple. And off they took at a tremendous rate of knots over brooks.
Kenneth Williams.
Horse riders don't go at speed of knots.
Oh, figuratively.
Well, I think that's an expression he was using colloquially.
Speed of knots, it's a nautical usage. It's nothing to do with horses. Nobody says I galloped at X knots.
Yeah. No, that's true. I think he was using his metaphors incorrectly.
Yeah, but it's a cliché, isn't it? At a rate of knots.
He was even using his clichés incorrectly. So, Kenneth, you have the subject.
Quite right, quite right.
There are 43 seconds on steeplechasing starting now.
Well, they dress up in what is called pink to do this.
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation. He's talking about hunting.
He's talking about hunting. Steeplechasers don't. There are people who go racing. So Clement has a correct challenge, and there are 38 seconds on steeplechasing starting now.
The great occasions in steeplechasing are the Cheltenham meeting in March, and every year, Aintree, which stages the Grand National, this year, amazingly enough, to be sponsored by an American motor car firm. What will they think of next? Aintree has some of the most...
A Kenneth Williams challenge.
We're not discussing steeplechasing at all. He's discussing horse racing at Cheltenham and the other places.
But he's talking about steeplechasing.
Newmarket. They don't do steeplechasing on a race course.
They do.
Talking about, of course they don't.
No, no, you're thinking of point to point.
Ah, that's right, point to point.
Repetition of point, you see.
But he did repeat the word year, didn't he?
Right, that's what I was getting at.
Yes.
That's my point.
So you have 20 seconds to take over the subject of steeplechasing starting now.
They dress up in these uniforms.
Clement Freud is chuckling.
Repetition of they dress up.
They dressed up before when you started.
Oh, sorry.
Clement has the subject back. There are 18 seconds on steeplechasing starting now.
Devon Locke, engaged in that great steeplechase that takes place in the northwest of England, was possibly the most unlucky loser. And the Queen Mother, a very brave and noble woman, suffered this setback with enormous fortitude. The horse in question...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Of horse.
Yes, you said horse before.
Where?
Most unlucky horse. And the horse in question.
Oh, yes.
There are 2 seconds on steeplechasing with you, Derek, starting now.
Red Rum is possibly the greatest steeplechaser.
Well, an interesting situation in the score. Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud are equal in the lead still, and neck and neck. But Kenneth Williams is still only 1 point behind. Jones is trailing a little. And Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Hector Berlioz, the composer. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Yes, well, he was French, born in the south of France, and he really was the spearhead of the French Romantic movement.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of French.
53 seconds on the subject with you, Clement, starting now.
I'm very glad that it says Hector Berlioz, the composer, on the card, as opposed to Hector Berlioz, the lavatory attendant, Hector Berlioz, the man of all seasons. I'm not terribly well-versed in music, but he did write The Trojans, my friend Kenneth Williams has just written down for me, and was also the composer of Divination.
Peter Jones's challenge.
Yes, that was hesitation.
Yes.
But Kenneth wasn't writing it fast enough.
Well, that's
that was the problem. But, Peter, you have the subject, and there are 23 seconds on Hector Berlioz as a composer, starting now.
Well, the critics didn't...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Tradition of well.
Nonsense.
He started
Nonsense.
Talking, yes, well. He always does, actually, if you want. Listen to him.
Well, I'm not going to allow it. Peter, you keep the subject, and there are 22 seconds on Hector Berlioz, the composer, starting now.
He wasn't well received by the critics, and he had a predilection for composing pieces of music that required hundreds, even 1,000, musicians. 3 brass bands, for instance, and hundreds of people singing.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of hundreds.
I think he said hundreds before, and you had hundred then.
Hundreds.
Well, I don't know. There might even have been an apostrophe there somewhere.
I don't think he said hundreds twice. It was 100 and hundreds.
Yes.
And so, Peter, you keep the subject with 9 seconds to go, starting now.
He had an extraordinary love life because he fell in love...
Clement Freud.
That's the second extraordinary.
That is right, Clement. And you have 7 seconds on Hector Berlioz, composer, starting now.
The Damnation of Faust, a piece of music beloved to...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repetition of music.
Yes, right. There are 4 seconds on Hector Berlioz, composer, with you, Derek, starting now.
I would like to agree with Clement Freud that I'm awfully glad...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation, this has nothing to do with Hector Berlioz, composer. I mean...
Oh, here, here. Right, right. Very good point. Very good point. Very well done.
Well, as you were talking about Hector Berlioz, the composer, and he would like to agree with you, I'm sure he's not deviating from the subject. So he has 1 second to continue. Thank you. Well, it's not very much, I'm sorry. Starting now.
Hector Berlioz, the composer.
A lot of points were scored with Hector Berlioz, the composer, and Clement Freud is one ahead of Derek Nimmo in the lead at the present moment, and he's going to begin the next round. The subject is weasels. Will you tell us something about them in just a minute, Clement, starting now?
Up and down the old Kent Road, pop goes the weasel, is the sort of song which... Berlioz never wrote very sensibly because it's an appalling piece of music, which I've said before, but not in this round.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Well, I don't think it's an appalling thing at all. It's a deviation.
I think
it's a very interesting
I think
story.
I'm entitled think to my it, opinion, you fool.
So he's entitled. He's entitled to his opinion as long as he doesn't deviate from the subject. And Clement, you keep it therefore with 45 and a half seconds on weasels, starting now.
A great gastronomic delicacy is mock weasel soup, for which you get a weasel and you make nasty, taunting, and ugly remarks, saying, "Yo ho, hoo, weasel, weasel." And in the end, you distill it, strain it through a cloth, and serve it piping hot with croutons or small squares, cubes of bacon.
I cannot possibly agree. This is a gastronomic treat.
Mock weasel.
It sounds quite disgusting.
Mock weasel soup.
But it can't be mock weasel if you're using a real weasel, can it, you great God?
You don't use it. You mock the weasel.
And you'd have the RSPCA. You'd have the RSPCA down on you straight away, wouldn't you, for using a real weasel?
You strained it through a cloth.
You mock the weasel.
It was a very subtle way he was going. He was mocking the weasel with those noises, and then he was going to strain it. I think it all sounds utterly disgusting, and I think it was devious as well. So, Derek, you have 20 seconds on weasels, starting now.
Up and down the old Kent Road, in and out.
Peter Jones's challenge.
We can't have that recited yet again.
Here, here, we're all it's fed up with you, not half a pound of tummy rice.
Yes, but he hadn't said it before. The thing is that he is allowed to repeat something which somebody else has said, as long as he doesn't repeat what he said himself. So he has 17 seconds to continue with weasels, starting now.
That's the way the money goes, pop. Goes the weasel. The bird mentioned...
Kenneth Williams.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree, Kenneth. You have the subject of weasels, and there are 12 seconds starting now.
And it is a good thing I have the subject of weasels, because believe me, nobody else has afforded you any enlightenment on weasels, and I am able to, because I can tell you, they love berries. They will devour voraciously the strawberry or the loganberry.
Thank you. Well, Kenneth Williams got the point for speaking as the whistle went, and we come to the end of the contest. And let me give you the final score. Peter Jones, our victor the last time the four regular competitors here were battling it out with each other, who won then, has now, alas, come in fourth place. Well, that's the way it goes. Kenneth Williams did very well keeping his end up against our two leaders, but he didn't quite catch them up. And we finish up with a joint winner this week, Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo. We hope that you have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and you'll want to tune in again next week when once again we take to the air and we play this incredible game. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.